Okay, I would like to call this meeting to order. Thank you. If you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can you call roll?
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. This takes us to public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the jurisdiction, the board's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commissioner. Any clarifying questions for the board must go through the chair. Any public comment? At this time, we have a presentation. I'd like to call Erica Rodriguez-Langley up from Assemblyman Frazier's office, and she's going to do a presentation for Director Ray Cadrell. Thank you.
So, thank you to the board for having us here today. On behalf of Assemblymember Frazier, I'm grateful to have the opportunity this evening to honor the memory and passing of one of Discovery Bay's great community leaders. And if I may, I'd like to come around.
Absolutely.
Again, one of Discovery Bay's great community leaders, Ray Tetro, who left us too soon. Jim was touched by the kindness and hospitality Ray showed him when he came to the Earth Day celebration here in Discovery Bay. Recalled how proudly Ray introduced his beloved wife, Gabrielle, with a gleam in his eye, and how saddened he was to hear of the passing of a man who gave so much to his community, including his service to the town of Discovery Bay Community Service District Board. Family and community were of utmost importance to Ray, and we know his legacy of love, family, and community endures. The California State Assembly marks the passing of Californians who have made significant contributions to our Golden State with memorial resolutions. As such, Assemblymember Frazier requested a resolution made to honor Ray, and before I respectfully present it to Ms. Gabrielle Tetro and her family, I would like to share it with all of you. This is a memorial resolution by the Honorable Jim Frazier of the 11th Assembly District relative to memorializing Raymond A. Tetro. Whereas it was with immense sadness and a deep sense of loss that word was received at the death of Ray Tetro on July 29, 2013, a distinguished Californian whose character and deeds in life merit gratitude and respectful acknowledgement by the people of the state. Whereas, born in Providence, Rhode Island, on May 5, 1947, Ray moved to San Jose, California with his family at the age of 10. And after graduating from Oberfeld High School, he joined the United States Army, serving in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. Whereas, upon his return to civilian life, he established a career in the semiconductor industry, in which capacity he worked for 20 years, until he started his own successful computer company, and afterwards sold his company and moved to Discovery Bay. And whereas, as an active member of the Discovery Bay community, Ray sat on the board of directors of the Community Service District, of which time he also served as president, tasked with handling water, sewer, landscaping, and recreational issues. Whereas, known for his no-nonsense, pragmatic personality, he was extremely dedicated to his community, serving on a variety of community service district committees during his tenure on the board. In addition to serving as a Reclamation District 800 trustee, member of the Sheriff's Municipal Advisory Committee, commissioner of the East Diablo Fire Protection District, and a longtime member of the Discovery Bay Lions Club and Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce. And whereas, having touched the lives of many, Ray brought credit and distinction to himself as a devoted CASA child advocate, serving as a mentor and a liaison for 11 foster children throughout the through the port in Salem County, and whereas, taking every opportunity available to be out in the water, Ray was an avid fisherman and he further enjoyed spending time with his family and his friends. Whereas, Ray Tetro leaves to mourn his passing and celebrate his legacy, his wife, 28 years, Gabrielle, his daughters, Gina and Jessica, sons-in-law, Vince and Juan, his grandchildren, Nathan, Lucas, and I beg your pardon, Aaliyah, Gavin, and Simone, his mother, Vicki, his sisters, Debbie and Linda, and his brother, Michael. Now, therefore, be it resolved by Assemblymember Jim Frazier that he joins the family and friends of Ray A. Tetro in celebrating and revering the accomplishments and the legacy of a distinguished and caring individual who lived life to the fullest, whose generosity was extended to everyone without hesitation or expectation of reward, and his spirit will forever live in the hearts and memories of all his loved ones. Members' Resolution 1640, dated the 29th of July, 2013. Thank you for this opportunity.
Director, please thank Assemblyman Frazier for his presentation from the Abbott Board.
Mention also that Assemblyman Frazier's office will be here this coming week on the 24th on Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. To meet with members of his district. Board members want to come in and meet with the staff. They will be here in this office and they will be able to do that at that time.
All right. President's report, director's comments. Director?
I really, looking out in the audience, I'm looking over where you're sitting, Ray was a great example on our board, and so I just appreciate his presence in the past and the future, so thank you.
I'm still, that was very nice and very touching, and I'm very distracted at this point, so. I apologize for not being in the game here. Let me get, actually I do have a report to give. It's hard to get back to business here. I'm just not feeling it. I'm feeling that. I did attend the ACC, aviation committee meeting over at Byron Airport, where they discussed, they had the presentation, I believe, that we're going to be getting with regards to extension 239, is that what they're calling it? Extension 239, there was a great presentation given by the people on the board, and woohoo, they're planning to break ground in 2024, so maybe our grandkids might be, or your grandkids might be able to actually see some dirt be turned over for that thing. But it will bring traffic to the airport. It will be affected by the airport. There's also a plan to extend Armstrong Road to Vasco Road, so the access to the airport is much safer, and also to provide the ability for emergency vehicles to come to the airport from two directions as opposed to just the one direction that it is right now. They had tried to apply for some grant money, but there's not enough activity at that airport to attract enough attention by the FAA at this point, so that money probably will not be coming. The one thing that the Patriot Jets did have a hangar over there, have a foundation, and they gave a presentation also, and that presentation is about education, and they actually provide ground school for kids in middle schools and high schools in the area, and it's a pretty active group. They've done over 60 kids have taken their ground school just to see if there's any interest, and so they're doing some great things besides having a great opportunity to fly around now with sequestration and having no military jets in the air. They're really busy, so they're probably making a little bit of money too, so that's a good thing. Concludes my report. I also attended the CSDA convention, but I will defer to Mary Ann for her report on that, and she'll give you guys that information.
So you're saying it'll be a while longer before we have Byron International Airport?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's go there. Mary Ann, I know you have a report.
Yes, I do. I'm going to pass those down.
Brownies, chocolates.
And then I have a packet.
Boy Scout, yeah, thank you.
There was a reason I didn't pick this stuff up off the table, Marianne.
Just enough stuff here for me to hurt myself with.
It's a taco box.
Well, and I made a little kind of a pun out of it in the top sentence of the report that I typed up this afternoon for you.
Yes.
I thought it kind of fell with the
yeah.
the stuff in the box.
I can only hope the report's a tiny bit shorter than this.
Yes, it is. I'm just going to do the front page. But basically, one of the things I don't like when I go to a presentation is when they have this on the screen and they read it verbatim. I find that. So I'm not going to do that. But basically, the conference was absolutely excellent, especially for me as a new board member. I felt that I really gained a lot of insight and knowledge that I did not have prior to going. And I mentioned to our president that one of the key things they said is the president should orientate the new board members, so I'm going to force him into doing that. But, you know, there's
that's
so much that you...
Scary.
That's scary.
You learn lots of bad habits.
Well, I mean, they really, I broke this down for you, and I gave you each a copy of each of the sessions that I was in. And I realize it's very thick, but it really is worth reading. And I made notes, as you will see, on the sidelines of a lot of comments that they made. And on in one of these, on the back, is a handout. It's called the Board Self-Test. And I really think it's something we all should think about doing, this board self-test. And I think it might give us kind of a vision toward what we need, what we do need or do not need, or what we've already got in place. And I'm the worst one to probably say that because I don't know the answers to all of that. But do we have our mission statement? Do we have our goals? Do we have our vision? So it was very, very good. And I felt the best speaker was the gentleman from the mayor of Tracy. He did an outstanding job, and he's so close that he might be someone who at some point we may want to think about having here as a guest speaker. And that's it.
Excellent. Very good. Nope. Nothing. All right. Consent calendar. Can you get a motion, please?
So moved.
Can you get a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. New business. Item F1. Approval to rehabilitate 6 sewer manholes that are located at Wastewater Treatment Plant 1 in the Discovery Bay Country Club Golf Course Maintenance Yard. Rick?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Normally, I would have had this on the consent calendar for you this evening. It's relatively ministerial in action, with a low dollar number, the amount of $13,000 for the amount of work that's being done. But in light of the fact that Director Reason is new to the board and Director Peace has not seen this item come before him previously, I thought it would be good to give at least a little bit of a history and what we have and what we do. There's a second page there that shows on the attachment what the manholes look like in the top picture. If they are, after they have the sulfide gases, they eat away, and those generally happen the closer you get to the treatment plant. Is where they generally have the problem. So the further away, the sulfite gases are not as pervasive. Is that accurate?
Generally, most of it comes when you activate the wastewater. And generally activating of the wastewater generally comes from what we call force mains. Wherever you have a lift station, you're pumping, you're agitating it again, and you're sending it downstream. In this particular case, these 6 manholes were installed in 2005-2006. They generally should last a good 40 years plus because of concrete. They haven't been made 10 years because of the sulfide seeping away. It's really, you got to just imagine Discovery Bay West has 4 lift stations in it. One starts up, it feeds, it's a daisy chain. The far north feeds the second one, the second, the third, the fourth. The fourth then pumps it straight to near Highway 4, comes underneath the sound wall, and then a gravity flows. When a gravity flows is when the gases start to be released, and that's hence why it starts to eat away.
So this item is for the rehab of 6 sewer manholes. You can see what the finished product looks like in the lower picture. We do about 4 to 6 of these a year. We have over 500 manholes throughout town.
Have these mantles been serviced before?
No, these are brand new ones.
We did this a year or two ago in Cherry Hills area? Or
yes, that's Cherry Hills Drive we did. Again, another
same idea.
Force main came through there.
Uh-huh. We do them every year.
We don't do the same ones.
No, we do
the same problem, right?
We have the same problem and we do them.
We try to do the worst ones first.
Sure.
But, well, my question, I'm sure there's a sequence, just like you mentioned, of where the worst ones will be and working way backwards. Is there any benefit to doing more of those in 1 year? Do we have a risk of waiting too long to do one or something?
If we felt that, I think we'd bring it to you sooner right now, but no.
Four to six a year
we'll
take care of it. Okay.
Correct.
It, the further away you get from the plan, the less the issue becomes.
Any questions for Ann? Nope. Any other discussion?
Is the failure mode just collapse?
I'm sorry,
does the lid collapse or what?
They have not collapsed, but what happens is your concrete is generally 3 to 4 inches thick.
Right
now, on those that you just saw there, those are probably a good inch is missing of concrete.
So they can't carry the load?
Well, eventually it'll start to collapse, but we don't want it to collapse.
Right. Any public comment? Further discussion? If not, I'll call for a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Item two, adoption of
Sorry.
Did you have something? Adoption of resolution number 2013-21 for acceptance of grant deed and certificate of acceptance of parcel APN 008-010-037. Owned by Kent Inc. to the town of Discovery Bay for the location of well number 7. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President. I was getting a little ahead of myself. I apologize. This item is pretty much what it says in the agenda title. It is the parcel that is being conveyed to us by Kent Inc., a division of the Hoffman Company, for the property where well 7 is currently being constructed on. This would have come before we let the contract for the get the well going, but the engineering and the survey work had not been completed at that point in time, so it's dragging a couple of weeks on that. So this is just pretty much an item, make sure that the board is in agreement that you want to accept this piece of property in exchange for, well, not in exchange, it's for well 7, and there's no charge. The Hoffman Company's not charging us any money for this. We just need to take care of the transaction with the escrow company, and that's it. So this will facilitate and finalize all the land processes relative to well 7.
There's no compensation present or future agreement for this piece of land. Board discussion, Chris? Kevin?
No, but on that, as long as that's subject to open, I just wanted to find out what's it. I'm looking to see if there's an update on well 7. Where are we currently with that well?
Well 7, they put up all of the sound wall materials. I've been out of town this week, so Virgil, maybe come up and give a quick update on the status of well 7.
Yeah, we are, Zim Industries has applied for a permit from the Contra Costa Environmental Health, which regulates groundwater wells. And so that permit should be coming probably tomorrow or maybe Monday. Unbeknownst to us, the county has asked that we get a permit for that temporary sound wall. And I'm working that issue right now with the county, getting what they need in a way of putting that sound wall, because they feel that a fence, it looks like a fence, it may last forever. And I says, no, I'll pretty much guarantee you 30 days, that thing will be gone, but they don't trust anybody. So anyway, we're in the process of trying to get that permit. Well, 7. So if we get the permit tomorrow or Monday, we'll be moving the small drill rig on site and starting to drill. We're pretty much ready to go. We're just ready for the permit to get going.
Do we have to pay an extra fee to rush that? Did we have to pay a hurry-up fee? You know, that extra little fee they charge you when you need a permit right away because it's going to impact your progress with them, or was it just a standard
for
the sound wall?
No.
Is there a fee for it?
You know, generally it turned out to be last Friday, somebody called the contractor because he was doing some work at some home nearby there that apparently didn't have permits. So they called code enforcement comes to talk to the gentleman. the contractor says, well, what about that Taj Mahal sound wall there? You know, who's, did they get a permit? So the moment they did that, he has to come to the town and say, what are you doing? I'm saying, I'm doing this, and I did not realize it was a temporary permit
okay.
for that.
All right, so that makes sense.
But he did say there is no right. fine for that.
Okay,
no
great.
Fee.
No fee.
Question I had is, on approximately what's the size of this parcel?
It is probably, size-wise, probably about a quarter of an acre, if that.
All right. And that land that's out there, that's it's called agricultural land, so there's no development potential in the future for the Hoffman Company.
Well, and we're right on the edge of the transmission lines, easements, and so there's very limited what you can do underneath those power lines there right, anyway.
That's all his property that's out there.
No, that belongs to another group, I believe, in Canada. It's
oh, okay.
called the Byron 78.
The avenue I'm going down is, even though he's made a generous offer and signed it all off, there's no adjacent pieces that he has that are connected by
the is the adjacent yeah. piece of his is north, and that is the Discovery-based storage facility. As you know, mm-hmm. in the front of Highway 4, right. but that storage facility wraps all around those homes called Newport Landing there.
Right.
So that is his property still.
Right. So this was the end piece of the last.
No, this actually, our property line goes right to the middle of the creek, Kellogg Creek there.
Right.
And then the other half goes to him and all the way up.
All right.
It was more of a remnant parcel.
Correct.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Okay, any public comment? There's no public comment. In that case, is there any other discussion from the board? Then can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 3, California Regional Water Quality Control Board Administrative Civil Liability Complaint R5-2008-0179 and R5-2008-0179-01. For assessment of mandatory minimum penalties, Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. If you recall, back in July, we brought to you this subject matter. There were two separate time periods where we had 9 violations each for a total of 18 violations of $3,000 is, I believe, $54,000. The first set of violations goes back to 2011, when we were doing some work on the UV system. We brought the UV 3000 plus in, and the weirs, if you recall, were off from the original construction back in 2000, I believe it was. And the second set of violations were the result of some functional, I don't want to say errors, but some functional issues that took place with the oxidation ditch. And those have since been paid by Veolia. They reimbursed us the $27,000 for those fines through the reduction of one of the, I believe it was their June 2013 bill to us. In July, we mentioned to you that we went to the State Regional Water Board and brought to them a proposal for a SEP project, which is a supplemental environmental program project, wherein we could offset some of the costs we actually pay to the state. And in this case, we would pay only $19,500 and $54,000 to the state. The remaining money the state agreed to and the board agreed to back in July to go ahead and fund a grant to Cal Berkeley to continue the wetlands projects out of Plant 1. And so what we're planning on doing with this action tonight, and we received the letter actually this week from the state saying that they've gone through their 30-day period and there were no comments or no complaints. So they're ready for us to move forward with this. And we're hoping to have at the second meeting in October, the professor that is running that program here to here to give the board an update on the progress that they've been making, as well as bring their student, their graduate student out. And we thought at that time would be appropriate to make that grant available to Cal. So if you have any questions on that, Furman is here, he can answer any questions. Virgil's here, he can answer any questions. And I think that pretty much covered it.
What are you looking for from the board?
Right now, just the approval of the $19,500 of the California Regional Water Board. The portion of the MMPs that is not being, that the state does not let you use for the SEP program.
Any questions, Chris?
Kevin? No, sir.
Marianne?
No, I went out to the wastewater plant and they explained that to me, so
nope.
I have no questions.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with it. I was scratching my head. I knew we had talked about it before. I thought we had taken the action, so I didn't realize we had authorized it.
We had to get authorization from the state. The state wanted us staff to come to the board. Is this something you're willing to do? Are you willing to move this project forward?
Right.
You came out and said yes. They took it to their board. Their board said yes. And now this finalizes that action.
Right. Thank you. Any public comment?
Probably not.
If there's no other comments, can I get a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to Veolia. Furman, come on up. I wonder if you slide that other podium closer to this podium, we'd be able to hear his microphone.
With Veolia Water. I'm the project manager over the wastewater and water facilities for the town of Discovery Bay. I'll be presenting the monthly operating report for August 2013. We performed 1,463 days of safe operations, 63,238 work hours, 6,400. Under training, safety operations equipment, safety. Monthly training consisted of escape routes and procedures, critical plant operations, accounting for all employees, rescue and medical duties, reporting, alarm systems, and disaster recovery. Performed five Take Five safety tailgates, a West Region Safety Council call, and a monthly regional safety webinar for about 5 hours of training under safety.
I have a question.
Yes.
What's a Take Five safety tailgate?
It's like a tailgate that we do, we read it, it varies in topics. It could be, for example, fire extinguishers in proper use and where they should be located. Just a safety subject topic that so everybody...
Something you get all the employees at that
yes.
time, just
yes.
real casual tailgate.
The, in the first thing in the morning, we always have a pass down to find out how are they going, if there's any critical issues, what are we going to do for the day, work that, you know, assignments, people are assigned to work. And then we'll take that opportunity to do some kind
just
of safety.
Okay. Thank you.
Under operations, Blaze Tetio and Scott Biosic participated in a 2-day training in Hawk Wim's Lab Cal Data Entry in Pleasant Hill. And Scott Biosic participated in a supervisor training in Indianapolis for approximately 40 hours combined. Reports are submitted to regulatory agencies, the monthly discharge monitoring report, the monthly electronic state monitoring report, and the monthly California report from the California Department of Public Health. Underwater services, the number of active wells is 5. We produce approximately 156 million gallons of water. We used up 3,950 gallons of hydrochloride, 0 fire hydrant flushing. The water table is accumulated right there. And as you can see, it looks like the pots we started to taper on down. Next month, we'll probably see even lower as it goes to summer winds down. There was 16 routine bacterial samples collected for water, and they were all negative. For wastewater, I included a new parameter. It's in red, the input and flow. And we also, this is not a report, but just to inform the board, Gregory Harris performed a quick analysis of our influent and effluent flows, found that approximately 20% below what the actual flows are. So we're going to be getting another company to come in and recalibrate the meters so we can get more precise flow readings.
Repeat that, please.
The influent and effluent flow meters, they're not accurate.
I understand, but are they recording more or less?
Less.
They're recording less than what we're actually doing?
Right.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. Right. And we get an outside company to come and perform that work, so we trust that what they're doing is accurate. We're finding out it's not. So we're gonna go to a different company, you know. And
have we had a conversation with this company that's doing this work incorrectly?
No, I don't think we've had just yet. In fact, we just found out it was like last week.
What's our liability?
Well, we just got the notice yesterday on this, so this is all brand new information.
What's our liability?
Well, there's
we're still within our, we are still well within our
permit.
Our permit limits.
We're doing what we're required to do by the state, because they require us to calibrate the meters on a yearly basis, and we're doing that. It's not us doing it with another company. You know, we're still meeting our discharge requirements, for example, coliforms. That's a separate test, independent of what our flows are, whatever, and we're meeting those discharge limits.
So we'll get our systems calibrated next month, or what?
I hope so.
Okay.
When we were in the last wastewater meeting, or the one before that, I thought we thought it was the other way around. We thought that we were getting it was actually to our advantage, not to our disadvantage.
Well, I think that's what brought up the suspicion about the accuracy of the
meter. This is the final analysis of what we were suspecting was not calibrated correctly, and unfortunately it went this way instead of that way.
Right, and that's the question is, until you actually perform a
calibration,
accurate reading, you don't know which company is the one that was doing it right. But there seemed to be a trend that when Cooper Controls came in and started doing the readings, all of a sudden our numbers dropped. So that I when I found that out, that's like I became very suspicious about it.
Yeah. So you could probably kind of look at that report that Furman is showing you there.
I'd love to.
And the third line down, your discharge shows there for July 1.2 million is the average, 1.27, 1.29. And generally it is hovering right about 1.6. The 1.8 is generally what that number should be. And we use that number, Herbert Engineering uses that number for our 10-year study. And then when I brought it to him, I said, you know, our numbers are really low, something is astray here. And that's when they came out and did this. And this number has not impacted us in the way of any fines, but could impact you on how many more homes you bring in or hook up to that. If it stays that low, then you could bring more homes on,
more.
But that's not the intent.
How does that information impact the decisions we made with the CIP when we decided how we were going to spend that money based on the information that we had in
most
the past?
Most of it's all just this year. So the study that y'all did was past years up to now. Mainly affected this year. You know, the main thing is, guys, if you truly, is the impact on the UV. As Furman said, we didn't have any fines associated with that. And that's the real impact.
See, the dosage, the calculation for the dosage takes in the flow rate. Fortunately, we overdose, which pretty much ensures that we're disinfecting sufficiently, as is reflected in the coliform samples. The results for coliform are very low.
So overall, we're spending a little bit more money than we have to.
Yes.
Treat the water
from electricity,
from a flow standpoint, right, based on what we're doing. Okay. Once the flow meters get corrected, you dial in your UV light and everything's good.
So I just wanted to let you know, make you aware of that. That's, you know, so okay. For the any more questions?
No, go ahead.
Okay. For the wastewater service laboratory analysis, like the August data.
Before we leave that, I just pulled up Gregory's email from yesterday afternoon, And they've been reporting 1.35, and Gravery believes that it's actually 1.59, which is still well within our permit limits.
Our permit limit for discharge is 2.1.
2.1, yeah.
Okay, the effluent flow was 40.15 monthly total. The influent average flow was 1.5. The discharge flow was 1.29. The pounds of VOD monthly average was 25. The pounds of total suspended solids was 43. The VOD monthly average for in milligrams per liter was 2.5. The total suspended solids in milligrams per liter monthly average, 4.2. Total coliform 7-day median max was 3, and the daily max was also 3. The BOD percent removal efficiency is 98.8, and the TSS removal efficiency monthly average 96.1. And then the electric conductivity is 2135 year to date.
Dilution is the solution.
Just to go back for a moment, if I might, to the earlier discussion. So how long do you before we think we're going to have an accurate calibration?
Well, I hope within a month.
Okay. When we do get that information, I know that the committee would love to know it. I'm sure the board would also like to know also how this affects our plans for full build-out and capacity in that permit for the other 1,100 lots that are available here within Discovery Bay to build out at full build out, and whether or not we can anticipate having to have another permit to do full build out here in Discovery Bay. Did that make sense?
Yes, it made perfect sense. The master plan was developed on data that was
prior to the miscalculation?
Correct.
Okay.
And so the data that's collected in the master plans, analyzed the master plans, would still be valid relative to the number of lots and everything else.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just concerned.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Thanks,
Roman. Under the NPDS, there were 0 NPDS rate excursions. I'm still under wastewater. Theological test results. We performed 8 samples, and they were all negative. There's 15 active lift stations. There are approximately 132 gallons of polymer was utilized. 0 sanitary sewer overflows, and the wastewater received was 46.58 million gallons. Collection system flushed 4,242 feet of sanitary lines. Year to date was 6.43% completed. CCTV, 0% completed. Inspected 21 manholes, year to date 29. Lakeshore lift station vacuumed out, troubleshooted low float. Lift station S vacuumed out. Lift station F was deragged and had the level transducer replaced. Performed valve exercising, performed weekly lift station inspections. Inspected vaulted lift stations. Yes, sir.
So we have a goal. I'm basing my assumption on the way this is, item one is listed here. So we have a goal of completing a flushing of sewer lines in a year, and we're in September, and we've only got 6.43% of that goal completed. Are we just kind of admitting defeat at this point?
Oh no, we get it done every year. The intent is to try to get as much done just prior to getting the CCTV in, because if you get too much of it done when they come in and inspect it, it's not going to be
can't see it.
Okay, so don't relate the percentage completion to of calendar year, because that's not really.
Oh, it's not the calendar year. No.
Well, when you say to date, it throws me for a little loop there, because it makes it look like, wait a minute, hey, 75% of the year's gone and 6% of the work's done. That doesn't, those don't correlate in my mind. But it's, now I understand. Thank you.
Contractual year, I think it's in May.
Are we on a different year than they are? It doesn't matter. Now I understand that it doesn't, okay. don't put a time, don't relate to the calendar.
And it's a 25% per year. Every 4 years, they're flushing 100% of the system. So contractually, they're required to do 25% each year. Last year, I believe they exceeded that by a little bit. So.
Okay, just looking at numbers, that's all.
Yeah, me too.
But what Furman is saying is that if you clean it, then it waits 2 or 3 months before the video cameras come into the survey. Sometimes it builds up stuff there, and they can't see certain things, or the camera can't crawl in there because of the buildup. So they like to have it clean before the camera goes inside.
Scheduling issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wastewater service maintenance, clean UV channel 3000 plus, swap pump number 5 in the input pump station, pulled new underground wire to RAS pump number 3 at plant 2, replaced the BFD on RAS pump number 3 at plant 2, changed oil in the Magna rotor brush at plant number 1, replaced the power cord on chamber B mold, formed a special plant accommodation to abandon a 14-inch force main from station W at plant 1 that leads to the headworks. Vacuumed and cleaned out plant number 1 headworks and station W. Plant number 2 Magna rotor brush number 1 had gearbox removed and inspected. Plant number 2 Magna rotor brush number 4 had a bearing replaced. Performed preventive maintenance, pressure wash and verifiers each week for algae removal. Any questions? For water, MCC troubleshooted Willow Water Treatment Plant, PLC. Troubleshooted Newport Water Treatment Plant level control wire was disconnected. Well number 2 main breaker tripped several times. PG&E had to come out, found that the insulation on the incoming leg was burned, had to replace the cable. And that's been resolved. We haven't had any problems since then. Troubleshooted and replaced well number 6 control valve. Performed preventive maintenance. Questions? Wastewater service, preventive and corrective. Number of work orders completed, 168. Total hours, 139. Work order backlog, aging 8 to 30 days, 114. Aging greater than 30 days, 26. Call out emergency responses, 10. Personnel hours and overtime, 1,234 regular hours and 54 hours overtime.
I have a question on that. You had mentioned, I think, at a couple of meetings ago that on your backlog of work orders, et cetera, you'll see something and put it on there, but you may be planning to do it 30 or 60 days down the road or something. Is there a way to break, if you've got 8 to 30 days, does that mean that all 114 of those items are going to be completed within the next 30 days?
That means that the work orders were issued out, and they're 8 to 30 days out. In other words, they were due today. They're 8 days late, 30 days late. And one of the reasons that that's so high is that they've been done. It just hadn't been reported in the CMMS. That's something I'm getting on the staff about. We're going to be pressuring them every week to turn in their PMs.
Oh, okay.
So we can record them.
So some of those work orders could be completed, but they haven't been updated into your system yet.
But they, for example, they may be issued out today. They're due in 7 days. So at the end of 7 days, if they haven't been turned in and put it into the system, it looks like they're 7 days late. But you actually have 7 days to do it.
So I think what Bill's saying is a lot of them are done, though. They just have not been recorded.
Yes, that is the case. You just haven't been.
I think the board would appreciate really solving that problem. Yeah, that sounds like an internal management problem that should be solved pretty quickly.
Yes, I can't remember what it was last month. It was considerably lower than that. I noticed it this month and started mentioning to the staff.
So we should see a change next month?
Yes.
Any questions?
And then terms. That's it.
Thank you, Firm.
Thank you
very much. Good
night. All right,
let's
see.
Manager's report.
The only thing I have this evening is one of the things that Director Wiesen handed out to you this evening was this pamphlet, and inside is another little smaller pamphlet. I'd encourage you to take a look at it, and I'm going to be scheduling this subject matter for a future agenda board item. to discuss with the full board at a future meeting coming up sometime very, very soon. And I'd also like to piggyback on Mary Ann's comments at the conference. I mentioned this to Director Pease and also Director Simon. I've been going to a lot of these conferences over the years, and I have to say that I think this is probably the most, this is probably the best conference I've ever attended. It was excellent. Last year's was good. This year's was, they set the bar even a lot higher. It was informative, it was challenging, and it was validating for a lot of the things we do.
Seems like the whole thing was more relevant this time. Sometimes some of the speakers weren't quite as relevant. They were more for entertainment value, and this year it seemed to be much more relevant to the subject matter, I think. Just better speakers, I think.
Anything else, Rick?
That's it?
That's it. Come on, record breaker, let's go.
Mary Ann had mentioned, I guess, and we had heard about the, I guess, the Mayor Tracy has a business that comes in and does consulting work. Is that kind of what you were leading up to? I know we had talked about some sort of a board interaction.
That is with him. That is he. That's Brent Dyes I've been talking about in the past with you.
Correct. And so is that down the road sometime? Or
yeah, what had happened is, if you recall, Director Tetro resigned from the board and we had a vacancy. So I talked to President Simon and I also talked to Mr. Ives, and he recommended that we wait until after the new board member has been seated. And so that is taking place. And I actually met with him this past week while I was at the conference and discussed it with him. He and I will be circling back probably the next week or so.
All right. Any questions? Mr. Gleagle.
Just briefly, I apologize for missing the last meeting. I was under the weather. I will be missing the October meeting on the 2nd. My wife is a school teacher and she has fall break, and I need to take advantage of that and have a date.
Hawaii, everything?
No, not this time. Anyway, I won't be here. My partner, Rod Atterbury, will be here on my place again. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee updates?
Nothing.
Correspondence?
Oh, yeah. I kind of blew through that. The community center status report.
There's no report.
Right, but being it's on the agenda, can I ask a question?
You may.
I know we talked about the joint meeting, and somehow my calendar had a date. Has that date been changed, or that?
Thank you for bringing that up. I had mentioned to you this weekend I was planning on doing that, and it escaped me. We had originally looked at doing it on the 9th and do October the 9th to conduct that meeting. Catherine Conceras is going to be attending that meeting to give the board, as well as the committee members, an update on the Hoffman County Discovery Bay transaction, how all that works. And she cannot attend it because it is the school break and she's going to be out of town. And I also believe that Chair Graves is going to be out of town that day as well and is unable to attend it, and is two critical members of that committee. So I did want to ask you this evening, and thank you for that, Director Pease, just select a date for that meeting if we could, so we can at least go ahead and try and schedule 8 different calendars. The 9th, the 2nd, and the...
When is the county person available? Do you have some time frames from her?
No, what I talked to her last week was is I would get some dates from... She said after that week was fine.
Okay.
So she said she'll just work around our schedule. She lives in town, and she'll try to make herself available. So she asked for a couple of possible dates.
Do we anticipate this to be probably a meeting that we would want to have on the same day as the board meeting because of the length of it?
The option would be, with enough advance notice, maybe what I participated in for, it does get to be a long meeting, but if you have the joint meeting and then maybe bring in some sandwiches or something and take a break and then go right into the regular board meeting.
That can't happen on the 16th.
How long?
Is this on a, are we trying to do it on a Saturday, or can we do it during the week at all?
Can't do it on a Saturday. I'm not available.
The week of the 13th, the week of the 14th, we have the meeting on the 16th. You can do back-to-back days. You can do Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There are five. There are five Wednesdays in October, so you could push it out to October 30th if you want to wait that long. I think that's pushing it back a little bit further than we would prefer, but that's certainly up to you.
Can we do it next week?
No.
I think the 15th works for me. Oh, what do you say?
I was just going to say, so the 23rd is, you can't do the 16th, the following Wednesday.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 23rd. The 23rd would work as well.
The 4th day of the week is the
23rd. The Wednesday.
So are you going to try and do back-to-back meetings?
No, you have a meeting on the 2nd and the 16th.
It's the 4th Wednesday.
It would be the 4th Wednesday. There's five Wednesdays in the month, so that would work.
I'm sure everybody else would work.
I only have one calendar with me, but that calendar says okay.
Wednesday the 23rd?
Yeah. It's a good day to have meeting.
Yeah.
Share with your wife.
You guys want to start a little earlier, or we start at 7? You guys want to start earlier or 7?
Earlier would be better.
6 o'clock?
No.
5:30?
No, I can't do that.
5.
I can't do that.
What works for you?
7.
6:30?
7. The earliest I can do it is 6:30. That's the earliest.
Let's do 6:30.
I wish I had my calendar, so I can. I don't bring my work calendar with me. But I, based on the whole first part of the month, I'm pretty sure the second half of the month I'm clear. So I'm toast.
When is our next community center meeting? Don't we have it already scheduled?
No.
Next week? No.
All right, so we're in agreement the 23rd, 6:30.
Please.
Marianne?
We scrubbed it because it makes more sense to have a joint meeting before the committee moves forward, because we need guidance from the board as to what the facilities are going to look like.
Okay.
23rd.
Thank you.
So that agenda will be broad enough to cover basically all items that we could think about, so we don't have a legal issue of posting.
Yeah. Broad scope, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a workshop.
Correct.
Format.
Free form.
Okay.
Whiteboard's flying.
Let us move on. Okay. Public records requests. None. Future agenda items. Any future agenda items? Chris?
No.
Kevin?
Not for that, for this meeting, but for, I would encourage staff to have a business, to be working on a business plan prior to the.
Okay. Marianne?
Yeah.
Bill? Not at the moment. In that case, let me say that it is 7:52 and we are adjourned.
Is that a record?
No.